What would you do with your life if you knew you couldn't fail? If you had all the money, all the time, all the knowledge, all the resources that you needed, what would you do with your life if you simply knew that anything was possible for you? My name is Christina Carlson, founder of global Swedish design and inspiration brand Dream Life and author of the book Your Dream Life Starts Here. And I love exploring these sorts of questions to inspire people like you to chase your own dream life, whatever that means for you. Many years ago, I wrote down a dream on paper that would one day bring Swedish design to the world and create beautiful, inspiring, and meaningful products that would bring sparks of joy into the everyday lives of millions. Now that I have achieved that dream, I want to leverage everything I've learned to help you dream big and to create a global movement to inspire 101 million people to transform their lives and transform the world in return. Each episode will dive deep into the power of dreaming and share real insights and practical ideas that you can use immediately to build a dream life of your own, whatever that means for you. Hi there, and welcome back to another episode. This week, I have another inspiring guest, and we are going to talk about money. Please stay with me if you are saying, I'm not good at money, or I don't care about money, because money is not as scary as some people think. And in today's episode, we will talk about how we can change our money mindset if you need that. I'm really passionate about everyone having a financial plan that leads to financial freedom, because if we want to live our dream life, we need money to do that. And today's guest is my gorgeous friend, Molly Benjamin. Molly herself was not very good at money, but decided to change that and are now running the very popular Ladies Finance Club, which has had over 35,000 women attend an event, masterclass, webinar, or workshop, and has partnered and run corporate workshops with the likes of Google, Pinterest, Deloitte, Audible, and more. Molly's mission is simple: to help make women rich so they have full control and freedom over their lives. Her book, Girls Just Want to Have Funds, launched earlier this year. And also, we have just launched a money planner that you can get in the dreamlifestore.com if you want that. And we are very, very lucky to have Molly doing a financial freedom workshop with us in the Dream Life coaching program in June. And we're also reading her book, Girls Just Want to Have Funds, in Grow in May as well. So we're going to have her coming into the Dream Life coaching program, as well as doing a Q&A in Grow My Book Club, where we are going to read her book. So June is going to be all about money. So if you are excited to join us, you can just go to dreamlifestartshere.com. So let's get into it. Hi, Molly, and welcome to my podcast. I am so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Christina. I am thrilled to be here.
It's so fun because obviously we speak quite a lot outside of podcasting, and it feels kind of strange not being able to talk about all the different topics. But today we are going to talk about your amazing new book and all the amazing things that you are doing. But before we get started, I'd love to know, did you have a dream as a child, something you wanted to do or become or have?
Yes, I had so many dreams as a child. And one of my biggest dreams was at age, I think it was like 8, I wanted to have a hotel chain. And I'd even designed my logo. I designed what the rooms look like. I had it like in my head. I realize now that might not have been like a normal dream for a child, but yeah, it was going to be called Molly's Boutique Hotel.
I love it. And I can actually see that in front of me with like all your colorful ways of doing things. I can actually see that. So you just come out with a new book, but we might just start with your journey, because we got listeners from all over the world and everyone might not know you yet. So why don't you just share a little bit about your journey?
Yes, so I started my business when I was living in the UK, and I always say I was living like my best broke life because I had a good job. I was earning good money, but I had nothing to show for it. I thought, you know, we went out to earn money so we could spend it. And I was living like that paycheck to paycheck. It was quite stressful. And I think kind of a semi-embarrassing thing was I was working in financial services and I was like, oh, I should probably be good at this because like I'm literally working for banks and, you know, those kinds of companies. So I remember I kind of hit my low point. I was in Sainsbury's in the UK, which is like the Woolworths Walmart of the US. And I had to text my girlfriend and be like, hey, can you like send me £15? I don't get paid for 2 days and I need groceries. And I was like, what is going on, Molly? Like, you earn good money. Like, this is not okay. And the more I researched, the more I found that, you know, women, we live longer. We live on average 5 years longer. We earn less. There's still a pay gap in pretty much all the countries. And we have like, you know, unique challenges and circumstances that sometimes men just do not, aka we have a womb. Some of us choose to have children. We take time out of the workforce, which means we are retiring on a lot less than men, like 42% less than men. And one in four women are currently retiring with no retirement savings in Australia. And I was like, this is kind of madness. So I wanted to do something about it. And I looked at my girlfriends and they were like me, weren't very good with money. I looked at the women who were working with me in the bank. They also weren't very good with money. And I was like, who's good at this? And how come like some guys my age are buying property and I'm like barely being able to afford rent? Like something needs to change. And so I started running events in my living room with my girlfriends. I literally sent out a WhatsApp being like, hey, who wants to learn about money? Like, let's not do a book club. Let's do a money club. And so they all kind of replied and they were like, oh my God, so keen, so keen. And so we invited someone who worked in finance, a friend of ours along, and they taught us a little bit about bank accounts and savings accounts. And we had so many questions. There was such a hunger to learn in the room. I was like, this is interesting. There's something here. And, you know, making it social, making it fun, because when we talk about money, it can feel so overwhelming. It can feel like, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. So I'm not going to start. And so we did that. And then I started getting messages from friends who couldn't make it. And they were like, oh my God, I missed it. Are you doing another one? I need to learn about money. I know nothing about it. And I kept hearing these things. I'm so bad with money. Oh, I'm not good with numbers. Oh, I need to come to that. So I put on my very first event in London. It sold out. We had 80 women. Most of them worked in financial services in London, some of the biggest banks in the world. And we talked about money. And I literally were kicking, I was kicking people out by the end of it because I was like, guys, we have to go. Like the venue is closing. And I thought, wow, this is something I'm really passionate about because financial literacy for women, like the information people learn at Ladies Finance Club, it literally changes their life. And so that's kind of where it was all born. And kind of fast forward, you know, a few years later, we've had like 35,000 women through our different programs and we're all about making it fun, but also creating that safe space where we can talk about this topic that for so long we've been told is a taboo topic or it's not polite to talk about or, you know, it's just not talked about.
I love that. And, you know, it's so, first, so inspiring to hear because often when we are lacking something in our own life and we then start researching and this is what happened to me. I was like really not sure what to do with my life. And then I started to put some dreams together and then made my dreams happen. And that's what I do now. And isn't it interesting that often the things that we struggle with the most is the one that we then end up sharing with others, which I think is so great because I think there's nothing like having someone teach something that actually gone through it, because it's one thing to study it, but actually living it is a completely different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always say I'm still on the journey. Like I think our relationship with money is one of the longest relationships we'll have. So, you know, I feel like I'll never know everything about it. So it's really nice to take women on the journey with me.
Yeah, absolutely. But don't you think it's crazy that we actually don't get taught in school about money, because it's something we all of us need to use and save and, you know, work for.
I know. I always think it's funny, like we can all play Three Blind Mice on the recorder in Australia, but we don't know anything about tax. It's like, oh, that might have been more helpful. But it is, you know, like I'm always still amazed. I was speaking to someone the other day and they said their child's now learning basic financial literacy at school. And I was like, oh, good. I hope it's changing, because it was just not in our curriculum when I was going through school.
Also, it's such an individual journey, because it all comes really from our parents or the way we grew up, because, you know, the money mindset. We'll talk more about that. But before we actually get into all the mindset and things like that, what made you then write your new book, Girls Just Want to Have Funds, which I love. I love the title.
Well, I know when I started my journey, there just wasn't anything out there for women, by women, in the finance world. Like, you know, I say it was all very male, pale, stale, and blue, but it really was. And so I wanted to create like a book that kind of covered all the basics. Like, I'm a big fan of The Barefoot Investor, but I know a lot of my girlfriends will never read it just because of the fact that they just won't. And so I was like, if I can make something fun, if I can make it relatable, but I can put in those really important foundations, because, you know, everyone is different and personal finance is very personal. Like, the way I approach finance is different to my twin sister. And, you know, again, like that comes down to like mindset, how we're brought up, even though we're brought up in a similar household, you know, everyone's approach is different. So I wanted to just give them a bit of a guide, really, that they could follow, and then they can apply the bits. But at least then they have the base information, and then they can start building their wealth from there, because there's so many little things that I'm just like, how do I not know this? What? How was I never taught this? It's definitely designed as well to be done with girlfriends. Like, I'm a girl's girl. I'm one of three. I love my girlfriends. I love socializing, love a glass of champagne. And I'm like, if we can make this fun, if we can be like, meet up with your girlfriends, work through it chapter by chapter, give yourself a couple of weeks each to put the actions in place, you're going to be in such a good place once you finish this book. And I think we do need accountability in life. Like, I know if I'm meeting a friend at the gym, if I'm meeting a friend for a run, I will do it. I'm not really great at a self-starter, which is like the opposite of you, Christina. I know you're like an amazing self-starter, but like, I'm not like that. I need like the peer pressure almost. So yeah, it's very much to be like done with your girlfriends as well.
Yeah, I think I am a good self-starter, but I need the community to help me doing it. So when I start my challenges, I always do it within my Habit Club, because I need that accountability as well. And that's what we have in the Dream Life coaching program as well, that accountability. It's one thing to start, but it's another thing to continue, especially when it gets hard. So when I read through your book, I absolutely loved it, because I think there's certain things that we might be good at, but not so much on other things. And I think it's really good too. I just got really inspired reading it, and I can just only imagine for people who are just kind of starting that journey, because I've started it quite a while ago, so I'm doing definitely a few things, but nothing perfect. So the theme for June in our coaching program is, as you know, all about money. And for me, money is all about freedom.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But there's a quote in your book by Claire Booth Luce, and it says, money can't buy happiness, but it can make awfully comfortable while you are being miserable. Yes. And I can so relate to this, being one person who made a lot of money over the years, but also lost a lot of money. But when we talk about money, there is a lot of feelings, there's a lot of beliefs, emotion, opinions, and thoughts that come up with people when I talk about money and when anyone speaks about money. Why do you think money is such a taboo subject? And how do we then get started to talk more openly about money?
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? It's so taboo still. It's like women are more likely to talk about their own death than they are money, which just always astounds me. And it's in a very emotional topic for women as well, because it represents so much. It represents security, it represents a life, it represents control. But why is it such a taboo topic? I think, like, sometimes when we don't understand something properly, you know, we don't want to deal with it, because there's a bit of a fear there. And I guess as well with that, like, when we think of conversations we have with our mothers and our mothers had with their mothers, like, for a lot of them, they didn't have control over their own money. You know, they weren't allowed to open a bank account in their own name. They weren't allowed to get a credit card in their own name. They couldn't sign off on a home loan by themselves without a man. So there hasn't been like this history of conversation where we look at men having these conversations with their sons, having their conversations with their sons. So I think it's just an area that we're not socialized to talk about as women. And even when we do look at when money is talked about, it's always like, oh, I'm so broke. There's a lot about how to be a good saver, how to spend less, you know, how to do your own nails, how to cut back on coffees. There's not this focus on, okay, what are we investing in? How are we growing our wealth? Let's talk about property. It's slowly changing, but it's just not a conversation that we're socialized to have. There's a lot of beliefs that we need to work through. And that's why I've put in the book as well, just a bunch of different like questions to ask yourself about your money beliefs to go, actually, is that true? Or is that something that I've been told? Or is that something that society has put on me? Like if you look at like really good examples of wealthy women in movies, in Disney cartoons, they're always the evil characters. They're never the good characters, like Cruella de Vil. It's the evil stepmom, or it's like the old rich woman on the hill who hates kids. Like it's never like these positive characters. So yeah, I think money can be a very emotional topic for women, and it is changing, but it's still taboo. It still needs a lot more time. And that's kind of what we're trying to do at Ladies Finance Club, actually provide that safe space to be like, hey, it's okay to have these money conversations. It's a really big part of your life, because if you can get control over your money, you get control over your life.
And I think having a community that you provide where everyone thinks the same in terms of they want to learn about money, they want to talk about money, you know, you just then it becomes much more comfortable, and also you are much more likely to learn because you are around people who are feeling and thinking the same thing versus, you know, feeling uncomfortable and then, you know, the topic goes nowhere. As you know, I'm all about inspiring people to live their dream life. And to do that, we do need money. And I always think we need to start with our money mindset, because I don't think we can create financial freedom if you don't have the right mindset. And when I talk financial freedom, I'm not talking about making millions of dollars. You know, that's amazing if that's what anyone who's listening wants to do. But I'm talking about the right amount of money for each individual. So that could obviously vary a lot. I think also once you get into that mindset of working that out, money becomes really fun, because money gives you such a freedom to do whatever you love doing. And that's what drives me, because when I started my first business, I was never driven about with money. I was driven about creating amazing products to really help people. Yeah. When people say financial freedom, they always seem to associate it with making multi-million dollar things. So how do we then change our mindset? Can you give us some tips?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really true around like financial freedom. Like for some people, financial freedom is having the choice to work or not work, or it might be having the choice to pick up your kids from school. It might be having three overseas trips a year. It might look very different from person to person. Our money beliefs are very connected to how we grew up with money and how our parents or our caregivers behave with money. And our money mindset is made up by the time we're 7 years old, which when you think about that is so young. So if you grew up in a household where your parents used to fight about money, or they might have got divorced and money was always a source of conflict, then you might, you know, be sabotaging, or you might find dealing with money really stressful, or when money comes in, you might want to get rid of it straight away because you don't want to bring in conflict to your life. Or if you grew up in a household where money was abundant and there was lots of it, you might feel like, oh, well, I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry looking after it because someone will take care of it. Or a story where, you know, if parents had money and then they lost it, and then maybe they had it again, then they lost it again. Sometimes, you know, that might mean you want to hoard your cash and keep lots of it. Or you might be doing the opposite. You might be spending it straight away because you think it's going to go. So it's really important to actually understand our beliefs, because our beliefs become our actions and we act in accordance to our beliefs. So a good place to start, I think, firstly, is just forgive yourself for any money mistakes. You know, you were doing the best you could do with the knowledge that you had at the time. So if you're currently listening and you are in debt, there's a lot of like anger, shame, fear that comes with that. You've got to let that go. Sometimes we're in debt. It's not our fault. Sometimes we weren't educated. Sometimes we've made poor choices, but we've got to forgive ourselves. And then I think it's really important to just take a quick look at what were the messages I got growing up around money? You know, what were my early memories of money? What did I get taught from my parents about money? How was money discussed at home, or was it not discussed at home? Who looked after the money in my family? And then, you know, really question your beliefs about money. And a great question I always think is filling out the sentence, rich people are. Because when I do this with Ladies Finance Club ladies, like the answers are so different. And I can tell straight away what kind of almost upbringing they had from what messages they were received as a child. And it's not about whether you were wealthy or poor, but it's about how what you thought, if you thought you were wealthy or if you thought you were poor. So really asking yourselves, you know, is that true? I had a lady the other day. She was a gorgeous one of our members. She's in her late 40s and she said, I'm just really bad with money. And I said, okay, let's just kind of work on that. When's been a time you've been good with money? She's like, oh, there was this one time I saved for a holiday. I said, oh, great. And I said, what about, do you pay your bills on time? She's like, oh yeah, absolutely. I'm like, cool. Have you ever missed paying your rent? Oh no, never. So I'm like, okay, so you're actually really good with money. So how do we reframe that? Okay, I'm getting better with money every single day. I'm going to be debt-free one day. So really starting to change the messages that we're telling ourselves about money. Another common one I hear all the time is I'm never going to be able to afford a property. So then people go, well, if I can't afford a property, what's the point of even trying? I'm not going to bother. And they do nothing about it. But when people kind of change that mindset and they're like, you know, I am going to be a homeowner one day. I am going to buy a property. Then they start looking, okay, well, I'm going to go speak to a mortgage broker to get ready for how much do I actually need for a deposit? Okay, I'm going to look for other options. If I can't, you know, buy where I live, maybe you live in the middle of a city. Okay, what else could I do? Maybe I could rent vest. Maybe I can see what government schemes are available. Maybe I can use my family as a guarantor. Like, you start looking for other opportunities for other ways. Okay, maybe I can go in with friends or go in with family and buy a place. So it's really about kind of reframing the messages you're telling yourself about money and asking, yeah, just questioning them. Is that really true?
I couldn't agree more. And when you get that mindset right, then the opportunities falls into place kind of, because you then look out for things. And, you know, it's like that saying when, you know, you want to buy a new car and then all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. It's the same with whatever you're doing. And I love that because I think that's something that we can all take control over, like our own mindset. We can definitely change that. So thank you for giving us some tips on that. I loved how you used a mantra when you were starting to run again and you didn't feel as fit as you probably would have liked. that's for all of us when we haven't run for a while. But you used a mantra, I think, if I get it right, I'm getting fitter. And I love that because that's kind of just really helping you to kind of stay running if that's what you want to do. But how do we apply a positive mantra when it comes to money?
I think it's just about choosing a mantra that works for you. And that might be picking a belief and rewriting it in a positive way and kind of having that, like that example before, like that I'm getting fitter. And that kind of was, I was running up a hill and I was like, instead of thinking like, oh, Molly, why are you so unfit? Like, how have you let yourself get this way? Yeah, I was like, no, I'm getting fitter. I'm getting fitter. I'm doing this for myself. I'm going to be up the top of that hill soon. And it's exactly, we can do that with our finances. Like for those in debt or those who want to buy a property, I'm going to be a homeowner one day, or I'm going to be debt-free next year. And we repeat it every single morning. What we repeat, we get. So really changing those messages that we're telling ourselves. And I like with a mantra, you know, stick it on your phone, stick it on your desktop, write it on your vision board, write it near the light switch. So every morning when you turn on that light, you're reading that mantra. And yeah, I think the power of mantras is, yeah, incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree more. And also putting things up on a vision board and look at that. So for example, if you want to become debt-free or maybe you want to own a property, like put that on a vision board, because if you look at that vision board every single day, that goes into your subconscious and automatically you will start making decisions towards that. So for anyone who is inspired now to get started on their own financial freedom journey, where do we start?
Yeah, so I think once you've got the mindset piece down, because that's really important, you've got to believe that you can do this, and you 100% can, because everyone can. But once you've made that kind of commitment to yourself, you know, a really good place to start is just, I think, creating an emergency fund as step one. And generally, all the kind of finance gurus out there will say this is like your number one step. It is putting some money aside for a rainy day in cash. We don't invest it. We don't put it in term deposit. We definitely don't put it in crypto. We keep it there in cash, and that is there for a rainy day. Now, I like to call this the OMG fund, because it's for oh my God moments, like when the car randomly breaks down, or when you have a medical incident you did not see coming, or when you need access to money fast. And this is the first step in creating a solid financial future. And when I did this for the first time, when I saved my first $1,000, oh my God, I just felt like I was winning at life. I felt so calm as well, because I thought, oh my God, if something happens, like I've got money sitting there that I can use. And I was really strict on myself. I didn't touch that. I was like, no, that is only there for emergencies. But what you notice is once you start building that emergency fund, you have less emergencies, because they're not emergencies anymore, because you have cash there for it. So I always say, if you're listening and you're like, you know, like, Molly, hello, are you living under a rock? Like, interest rates are sky high, cost of living is sky high. Like, where am I meant to get this money if I'm living kind of paycheck to paycheck? I always say, just start. Just start with a dollar. Just start with $2. Build that up to $10, $100, $1,000. And this is where everyone is different in their journey. Some people will be able to fill that emergency fund with 3 to 6 months worth of expenses straight away. Others, this is going to take them a year. This might take them a couple of years. So it's really about working out how much can you put into it and when do you want to have it full by? And when I say, you know, just put some money into an account and don't spend it, like, I also understand that's a big challenge for people, because if you're a spender and you're not used to saving, you're actually changing your behavior, and behavior change does take time, but you can 100% do this. So set up that emergency fund. I always like to say, open it with a separate bank account away from your everyday spending. And that is your safety net. That is money to go and, you know, shit hits a fan, you have got this, you've got your own back. So that's always the first step I say to people.
I love that. And another thing, if I can add to it, is when you go on like everyday living and you make enough money to pay for things, and but you spend most of it, you know, what most people do seem to spend what they earn. And when you then lose everything, so that's been my own experience. So I used to make a lot of money, and then all of a sudden I lost everything. And what I really started to do then, it's a really great wake up call, but I'm hoping that for anyone who's listening, I actually don't have to lose everything, but actually do it when they're actually making money. Then I started to add up. Me and Paul, my partner, would, you know, buy probably 2 coffees a day. And I think we worked out it was like, you know, it was a few $1,000 a year. And I'm all for enjoying the little things in life. So I'm not just talking about reduce, you know, completely not buy coffee out if that's what you really love. But there will be other things like that. For example, I actually love making my own coffee. So I got my sister to send over my Swedish coffee machine because I love the coffee. And I actually love it even more now because I prefer having it at home and it's really nice. But saying that, a lot of people love the experience to go out and buy a coffee and maybe talk to the people. If you go there at the same time, you might meet some friends, etc. So I'm not saying we should take away things that we love, but definitely definitely really start calculating. Maybe you can say, instead of having two coffees, maybe one coffee. And then that money, which, you know, which is probably about $5 or something, that you can then save a day. And that all adds up. It's quite amazing when you're actually thinking about what you spend. And it's the same as with when you go out for dinner. That's really expensive. And also for some who loves wine, you know, I never really hesitated buying a bottle of wine for $40, $50, but that all adds up.
Yeah, absolutely. It does add up. And I think, you know, again, like, you know, cutting out your daily coffee, it's not going to make you a millionaire overnight. But what it's doing is it's putting you back in control, going, this is where I'm choosing to spend my money, as opposed to just kind of going with the flow and not having any control over it. It's your money and you get to decide where it goes. And if you want to spend that $5 on coffee and you don't want to spend that on something else, that is your choice. But what we do want to make sure when it comes to budgeting is that we have more coming in, less going out. And you get to be the one who decides what those levers are. And then it's just really important that you make priorities around, you know, where are you going to put that money first? So, you know, always making sure that your mortgage or your rent's being paid first, your bills are going to be paid first. This is a thing I find a lot of women who come to Ladies Finance Club, they are smart, they are savvy, they are action takers, they are goal orientated, but sometimes with their money, they're not. And that's just because they've never been taught, or they need a guide, they need someone to hold their hand, which is what we do. But like all these women, they're smart. They can totally do this. Like they, if you can do grade 2 math, you can budget. Like it's like get a calculator. It's not hard. You want to make sure what's coming in is less going out, but we can complicate it so much for ourselves. And now in the days of apps, and pretty much all the banks now actually have a section on your online banking where they actually summarize your spending for you. So you can go in and actually be like, okay, huh, I'm spending that much on groceries. I wonder if I can challenge myself. So if you're spending $400 a week, $300 a week, okay, I wonder if I can challenge myself to spend $250, because actually I'm going every night because I don't have a meal plan. So I wonder if I meal prep on the Sunday, that will get me going. Then I can go out two nights, enjoy that. So, you know, like once you start taking back that control, it actually empowers you. It puts you back in the driver's seat.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing that I do when I am, because I love learning and I love doing different programs. So when I in the past have done, spend a few thousand dollars on a course or a membership or anything like that, I then just go and look for money that I'm already spending, but on other things. And that's when I think it's so important to be clear on what your values are. And it's funny because my kids always laugh because I get books delivered all the time. And they like, Mom, you always talk about, you know, to not spend so much money. And I'm like, yeah, but that's my highest value. So, and that is what I do for a living. So when you're actually clear on your values, it's so much easier to actually start this financial plan as well, because then you'd be like, okay, I'm going to invest in a course because I'm actually going to be the best version of myself. Mm. And because of that, I'm going to be able to control all the other things that are important, my health and my money and everything else. So that's another way of looking at it. If anyone who's listening who wants to join the Ladies Finance Club or the Dream Life coaching program and they just think, oh, it's too much money, then you'd be like, this is probably going to make me money. That's how I see it.
Oh, absolutely. And like women come along to our investing events and what they're learning, that's going to change their financial future. Like literally their retirement is going to be so different because they came to some sessions and then they took actions. And I can literally say that because I've had emails from women being like, I was going to retire into poverty, but now I've gotten on top of my super. I found my lost super. I've started salary sacrificing. I started contributing more. And if I do that now for the next 10 years, it means X. So, you know, this stuff does have impact.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about retirement saving, because when you're young, it seems so far away and it's quite hard to get motivated to save more than required. You know, for me, I wasn't really interested in my super until I could actually start investing it myself. Mm. And that takes a bit of time because you need to have enough money to because of fees, et cetera, to make sense. So have you got any tips to be more inspired, especially for any young listeners out there, to actually start thinking about that now?
there's such little things you can do now that mean, like I always say, that your super fund or your retirement fund will look as good as George Clooney does at 60, because like that's what we want. This is the thing that I always find with finance. Like, we're not making huge dramatic life changes here. We're putting time away to like do like 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here. It's not like you have to change your whole lifestyle to take back control of your money. So with your super, your retirement savings, a really good thing to do is, for those who don't know, actually find out where it is. And, you know, and that is literally, that will take you like 5 minutes. You log into MyGov, you go onto the ATO and you find out where your super is. And then if you don't know, if you work for a company, you can call up your company, find out who your super fund is. And then look at, okay, get interested, be like, what's it being invested into? Where is my money actually being invested? And that's also a really good time. You can actually go, is that where I want my money being invested? Like, do I agree with that? Maybe it's being invested into fossil fuels and you didn't even know that. Or maybe, you know, you're not taking a very high risk. And it, like the rule of thumb is the younger you are, the more risk you can take with your super. And then work out if you're putting enough away. And you can literally just jump on your super fund's retirement calculator, or you can just jump on the Money Smart website and just pop in, okay, this is how much I currently have in my super fund. This is how much I'll probably be contributing. What does that look like in 30 years time, 20 years time, 10 years time? Am I putting enough away? Also, there's billions of dollars of lost super in Australia. So you can actually go on to the ATO as well and find out if any of that lost super is yours. And what you can also do is, if you've got lots of different super funds as well, you can decide if you want to consolidate those, because sometimes having lots of super funds can be like having lots of phone plans, and you might not need lots of phone plans. You might just need the one phone plan. It's just really important to check what insurances you might be getting rid of and just get a little bit of advice around that. And you can get advice for free from your super funds. But like, I know it's really hard to be like, okay, you know, I'm going to put away this time, you know, I'm going to switch the Netflix episode for sorting out my retirement, but do these small things now. And this might be the difference between $100,000 different at retirement. And there's a great company called Super Fierce, and they'll actually, you pop in your super fund details and they'll actually compare your fees and how much you can save over your kind of lifetime in fees. And people get these reports back, and they're not tens of thousands of dollars difference. Sometimes they're hundreds of thousands of dollars difference, because even though 1%, 2%, 3% doesn't sound like a lot, it all compounds over time. And it just, sometimes compounding doesn't make logic sense. You're like, how? But it's really worth just doing those few little things, and you're going to be, you know, in front of half the population. And in my book, Girls Just Want to Have Funds, we break it all down, especially if you're a woman looking to take time off work, or maybe you're currently taking time off work. There's things like spousal contributions, topping up your super fund from 5 years before, or topping it up for the future. And also the government co-contribution. So there's lots of little things that you can do to make sure that you're not going to be one of those women hitting 55 years old and retiring into poverty, like literally retiring into homelessness, because that's one of the highest growing demographics of homelessness in Australia. It's single women over the age of 55. And these women had careers. They are smart, but they didn't save properly for the future. They didn't know, or circumstances have happened to them. So do these small things now, and it just means you're going to be sitting in a much better position. And then do it with your gal pals, because if you both want to have a good retirement, be cruising around Mediterraneans on your all-inclusive cruises, which I think sounds awesome, or, you know, going to amazing hotels, or, you know, having that freedom to do what you want. You know, you want your girlfriends there doing it with you. So make sure that they're getting on top of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that, we've spoken about this before privately, but one of the things that really blows my mind every time I hear it is when women say that they are staying in a relationship because of financial security. That to me is like, no, you need to be in control of your own you need to be financial independent. So if you are in a relationship that is not working out, you're not staying there because of that. That's why I'm like, as young women, anyone who's listening, but for everyone, obviously, but especially for young women who are maybe just getting into relationship and then thinking, well, now I'm sorted. But it's like, no, you need to have your own control over money, and then you can choose your life in a much better way.
Absolutely. Like, as we say, you know, hashtag a man is not a financial plan, but we've all seen it. We've all seen those relationships we never, ever thought would break up. And so you want to make sure if anything happens to your relationship, you are in full control of your finances. And also in a relationship, when you hand over your financial power, it's really hard to get it back. So, you know, it's things like setting up date nights with your partner where you actually talk about your money, you talk about your goals. And what it shows is couples who are aligned on their financial goals are more happy as well. And if you are listening to this and you're like, I'm not sure how to approach it with my partner, seek financial counseling, seek out a money coach to work with both of you. Or I always say, use my book as an excuse. Be like, hey, I'm reading this book. I'm feeling really inspired. I want to start taking more action of our finances. But yeah, try and get back in there, because no one's going to care about your money as much as you will.
Yeah, absolutely. What are the most common mistakes to look out for when we set financial goals, and how can we overcome those?
So the first one is we make them too small or too big. And what I always say is we want Goldilocks goals, not too big, not too small, just right. So, you know, some people are like, I'm never going to catch an Uber again. I'm never going to order a cocktail out. Like, come on, let's be realistic. Or they'll be like, I want to buy a $1 million house and they're earning 75K a year. It's like, okay, we've got to make sure that our goals are smart. You know, they're smart. They're specific, measurable, time bound, or at least at the minimum, we put a dollar amount and a date on when we want to have it done by, because then we can set a plan. Another, a mistake I see is, well, the biggest one is having no goal. So I spoke to a lady in finance the other day and I'm like, how are you with money? And this is a common answer I hear. Oh, I'm so bad with money. And I'm, you know, I work in finance. I should be so much better. And I'm like, okay, cool. Well, what are your goals? What are you saving for? What's on the vision board? Oh, nothing. Oh, well, that's the issue. You know, we use that example of playing a football game with no goals. Like, you'd just be kicking around the ball. There's no point. So really making sure that you have a goal and you put a dollar amount, a date on it, and getting specific and putting your why. Like, why do you want that goal? Maybe it's to build up your emergency fund so you know you don't have to rely on family or friends or someone you can fly home, or maybe your goal is to own a property and, you know, you want that for, you know, so you can start growing your, you know, property portfolio so you can get closer to financial freedom. So not having a goal is a big one. having goals which aren't your own, just on that property one. So, you know, making sure that our goals are actually our goals and they're not goals that society has put on us or goals that our parents have put on us, and that we really want them, because we're going to be a lot more motivated to achieve them when they're our goal, when we're excited about them. So when, you know, someone says, hey, do you want to go away this weekend? Or hey, do you want to go to this fancy dinner? And it's not in the budget. You can go, actually, could we do that next month? Or maybe could we do this instead? Or let's just go for a walk and grab a coffee. Another one is invisible spending. So, you know, when we pop to Kmart or we pop to like the chemist or Priceline and we come out all of a sudden with like $150 worth more of things than, you know, just the nail file we went in for. So being, you know, careful of that. Put discretionary spending in your budget if you know you're someone who does that. And then the other one is not having budgeted for special occasions and not having put money away for like the Christmases or the anniversaries. You know, as I say to our ladies, like, Christmas comes every year. Shouldn't be a massive surprise, yet it is. And then just forgetting those unexpected bills. You know, car registration is, if you have a car, that's going to come every year. You know, water bills, electricity bills. So making sure that in your budget you're putting money aside and getting really organized with how you set up your bank account so you've got that money there.
So let's finish up with talking about investing. So there might be some people here who are really good with their savings and paying their bills, etc., but are not doing anything when it comes to investing. And there are so many options out there. Where do we actually get started when we start investing if we're kind of starting from scratch?
So women actually make really good investors, and research shows that women actually outperform men when it comes to investing. So we've got to get over, like, you know, we're not good at investing. Investing's hard. Like, there's definitely some things you can do to prepare for investing. The first one is make sure you don't have any bad debt. So if credit card interest rates are average is 19%, you know, if you're making an 8 to 9% return in the stock market, you can see you're still going backwards. You want to have that emergency fund set up and know that, because we never want to be forced to sell investments. Investing is for the long term. It's not sexy. It's not about listening to stock tips and trying to double our money overnight. Massive kind of like alert. It is boring. If you're doing it correctly, it shouldn't be exciting. It should be pretty boring. And we want to make sure that we're not needing that money in the next 3 to 5 years. So if you wanted to buy a property, you wouldn't want to invest that money, because if the stock market takes a hit, you might be selling at a loss. But what we do know is over a period of time, the stock market goes up. But absolutely, if you can online shop, you can online invest. It's actually a really similar process. You open an account, and you might open a broker account. If you want to pick which investments to buy or which funds or companies, so a fund or exchange traded fund is where you're buying lots of different companies in the one go. You're not just buying one company, and then you kind of put through your order. A nice place to start for beginners is what we call micro investing, which there's a couple of apps out there. If you get a coffee and it's $4.50, it will round it up to $5 and it will put that extra money into an investment. And you can kind of choose some different options of where that investment, where that goes, whether it's in like companies which are really ethical, or it might be just Australian companies, or it might be companies overseas. So there's lots of options, but I think the important thing is just dip your toes in the water. You can get started investing with a dollar, with $50. You don't have to put $5,000 or $10,000 in. You can just dip your toe in the water, build up your confidence, come along to some of our LFC sessions, but you can totally invest.
Thank you so much. That's a good start for anyone who wants to get their toes in the water. So thank you for sharing that. This has been such an inspiring hour together. I could talk about this topic forever. So I'm super excited to have you as our superstar speaker in the Dream Life Coaching Program. And also we are going to read your book in Grove, my book club. So for anyone who wants to join that, just go to dreamlovestartshere.com, because we are going to talk about money, which is really fun. And we're going to have you coming in, answer some questions, because I'm sure we all have lots. But before we finish up, have you got a morning ritual? And if yes, can you share with us?
It's not one I do every single morning, but it's one I'm trying to do a lot, is go swimming. I'm very fortunate that I live in Bondi, and I used to be really scared of the water and the ocean, and now I've started ocean swimming. So I try to do kind of 2 to 3 ocean swims every week, and it's a way I love to start the day.
What a beautiful way to start a day. What's your favorite non-fiction book? I know you're an avid reader, so this will be a hard one, but maybe just one book that had a big impact on your life.
I loved Get Rich, Lucky Bitch by Denise Duffield Thomas. I think it's a really great book for women to listen to who are struggling with money blocks. And there was just a lot in it that I loved, and it made me think very differently about money.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. So the last question I have for you, knowing what you know now, what kind of advice would you give to your younger self, say in your late teens?
I think stress less. Like, I used to get so anxious around business and so anxious around like Ladies Finance Club, and I was on this mission, and I didn't spend the first few years of business enjoying it at all. I just felt really stressed by it. So I think it would be like, chill out, have fun, and enjoy the journey. And I still remind myself of that all the time. Like, this is a choice. I've chosen this life. So let's enjoy it and let's bring fun where we can.
I love that, because I think we often so focus on the destination, and the journey is what makes our life. And it's easy to forget that when you are on a big mission like you are. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you so much for taking your time to come on the podcast, and also taking your time to write a great book that I know so many people will benefit from. I'm so lucky to have you in my accountability group on Monday mornings, which I absolutely love. So I'm super grateful to you for everything that you share. And I'm really excited about see what our future brings.
Thank you so much. And likewise as well, so grateful to have you in a team and in my life. And I just am always so constantly inspired by you, Christina.
Thank you. Thank you. Same. Yay. That was so inspiring. I really love talking and thinking about money, and I hope you are ready to make a financial freedom plan and make money work for you so you can live your dream life however you want. To help you, check out the Ladies Finance Club Money Planner that you can get in the dreamlifestore.com. And as mentioned in the intro, we are very lucky to have Molly coming in to do a financial freedom workshop with us in the Dream Life Coaching Program. And we're also going to read her book, Girls Just Want to Have Funds, in my book club, Grow. And she's coming in to do a Q&A with us. So if you are excited now to take money in your own hands, so to speak, just go to yourdreamlovestartshere.com to join us. It's never too late to start getting good with money or to take the next step. As always, I'll be back next week with another episode. I'll see you then.